You're listening to the Podcasting Underground, episode 34.
You've entered the Podcasting Underground. Podcasting for podcasters. News and tips to help you succeed in podcasting.
On this episode of the Podcasting Underground, I'm going to discuss the question, is podcasting an industry, or are we all just fooling ourselves? I'll also tell you why I think that if you want to really make money, you should stop being a podcaster. Second of all, I'm going to give you a tip on how to get your videos out to the top video sharing sites in just a fraction of the time. All of this on this episode of the Podcasting Underground, online at podcastingunderground.com. I'm your host, Jason Van Orden, author of Promoting Your Podcast and creator of the Professional Podcasting Course. Hello and welcome back to the Podcasting Underground. Now, you might be wondering what happened since last episode. I promised I indicated that I'd be talking about how to create community around your podcast, or that I'd have an interview with a member of the Podcasting Underground community. And actually, something came up. There is a topic that was kind of sparked on the internet and got some ideas of mine going. I've been thinking through this all week. It's got my mind buzzing, and you know, I've got some things to say about it that are really important, and it's really got me excited to talk about this. So I decided to kind of bump the schedule a little bit. I'm actually up really late recording this right now, even though tomorrow morning, well, actually today, since it's early in the morning, I'm taking off on an airplane for my wife and I are coming back to the States actually for 3 weeks. We're going to be in California and then in Hawaii for a couple weeks, but I'm willing to sacrifice some sleep. I want to get this episode out and talking about these things because I think some really important stuff to think about. So, but before I get into exactly what it is I want to talk about, I want to tell a story. I'm going to go back a little bit, several years, to when my wife and I were in a band. Actually, I've been in band since I was in high school, or actually early college, I guess, is when I started my first band. And then throughout college, I had a variety of few different bands, and my wife and I were in bands together even before we got married. And we had a band together that we were, when we moved to Salt Lake and graduated from college, we moved to Salt Lake City, and I was working there for a company that designs, I was writing software for a company that designs guitar effects processors and stuff for guitarists. Anyway, at the same time, we had a band that, and we were really serious. I mean, by now, my wife and I had both been in several bands together, so we'd kind of had some different experiences, made different CDs, and this was the band that we were determined to make big things happen with. And so all our spare time, and we rented out a practice spot in a local kind of warehouse. It was divided up into practice studios, so we had our own full-time practice studio that we rented out. All our extra money went into recording our CDs. We'd go to the best studio we could find and spend thousands putting demos and CDs together. We often went to LA, we went to Boston, Tennessee, different places for music conferences to hobnob with some of the, and learn, kind of like some of the conferences we have for new media and podcasting and stuff. We want to learn from others who from music industry professionals, to be coached, to network, to get feedback. We even, won a couple contests in Northern Utah. So we were really serious about making things happen with our band. And we knew that an important part of making things happen was to really learn how does the music industry work. And, I think it's a pretty common story. You've got lots of garage bands out there, underground bands, as we call them, independent bands, whatever the case may be. And the internet has done wonderful, wonderful things for helping bands be able to promote themselves. But, I think we all have that secret dream that we're going to start a band and we'll be, playing that little concert, and some A&R rep is going to be there and hear us and think it's we're just the greatest thing. And, often on MTV, we see these bands all of a sudden spring up. It seems like they're overnight success. They get signed. All of a sudden they're big stars. They got videos. They're going on tour. They got a CD in stores. But, the music industry has changed quite a bit in the last few decades, and there's, very little of what we used to call artist development, or what they used to call artist development back in the day, when they'd actually sign and develop you and bring you into different markets and bring things down. I mean, now the economics of the matter are that they kind of need a pretty sure thing, and if you don't start selling CDs quickly, then they don't want to put a whole lot of money into pushing your CD and actually getting you to that point. I mean, if you saw the statistics of the number of bands who do get signed and then actually do quote unquote make it, it's actually pretty dismal. After our band broke up, our bass player Wynn was in another band that ended up getting signed by Maverick, and Maverick Records, which is owned by Madonna, picked them up. They made a CD. They spent about a year making the CD. They had, gotten an advance and everything. And then shortly after that, Maverick got bought up and dropped all but their key players. And when you're on the same label as Alanis Morissette and Story of the Year and Deftones and stuff like that, I mean, you get dropped when they're only going to keep a handful of their top bands. So, this is the kind of thing that happens all the time. So what is the point that I'm trying to make here? Well, we came to the realization that really the best thing that we could do, we were probably not going to get the attention of a major label until we were actually making some waves of our own. And, we did pretty well in our own little market. We sold our CD. Like I said, we won a couple contests. We were the only band at the time to get on the one clear, on a clear channel station, to get radio play on a clear channel station, because they would bring us into the morning show and have us play live. However, you got to get to a point where you're pulling in good amounts of numbers to your shows and selling good amounts of CDs yourself for them to finally come to you and say, okay, hey, this might be something we want to take to the next level. There's actually very, very few stories of people where, you've got so much talent that they're willing to dump millions into you and all of a sudden make you an overnight star. But the truth of the matter is once you start getting to that point of having enough success to maybe get their attention, it may be the kind of thing where, well, you know what? Maybe I'm okay on my own, running this thing on my own. And, I've known a lot of independent musicians to do a really great job on their own, building their fan base over the internet and building things up without having to depend on record labels then to take them to the next level. All right. Now, before you start wondering what in the world does this have to do with podcasting, why is Jason telling us about his glory days in bands, I think there's a direct parallel to some of what has happened in the podcasting area, or well, I'll go ahead and use the word industry, even though I'm trying to discuss and maybe even question that whole world right now, that whole word. But let me say this. Let me go ahead and quote now out of a blog by Michael Gohagan, and that's what sparked this whole thing. And maybe some of you have probably read this blog, and if not, I definitely recommend that you read this blog post. It got a lot of attention from several different people blogged about it, and I think it was some very interesting things to say. I agree with much of what he said. I'd like to add on to that here, but here is one statement in particular that I want to go ahead and read. He says, "Podcasters, it is time you face the facts. If you are waiting for a podcast advertising service to ride in on a white horse and rescue you from your monetary woes, let me help you. Start looking elsewhere." So I think some of us as podcasters have fallen into this trap of, I'm going to make this show and then somebody's going to sweep in, Pod Show or Podango, or someone's going to sweep in and make me an overnight star. And we have had a few of those success stories out there. We've seen people all of a sudden end up on TV, all of a sudden end up on Oprah, all of a sudden, I really think that it was a combination of hard work and opportunity and maybe a little bit of luck in the right place, right time, but also just knowing how to make things happen for themselves. So the title of Michael Gohagan's post is "Podcasting is it's a community, not an industry." So I want to explore this topic a little bit and give you some more. Again, I'm going to be telling you, whether I think it's an industry or not, or are we just fooling ourselves? And I'm going to tell you why, if you really want to make money, you should stop being a podcaster. So the basic gist of his post, if you haven't picked up already, is that it is kind of this parallel with the music industry. There's not going to be the overnight success. Somebody swoop in, like you said, on a white horse and rescue you through, bringing you the magic advertising contract. Okay. So let's talk about this. So basically what he's saying is, there is no industry in podcasting because the advertising dollars that we've been promised and speculated and stuff for years and years and years, it's getting old. It's not happening. Some of these companies have placed, Company X has placed great ads with, big brand A or B, and a few podcasters have made some money or whatever, but there is no ongoing industry there because ad buys have been nothing more than maybe experimental or auxiliary, with the exception of maybe a handful of brands. Again, yes, there are a few podcasts who have done extremely well with advertising deals, but on a large scale, this just not happened. And And I, you know, honestly, I don't know. I guess I'm not surprised. You know, I thought maybe there's a possibility it would pick up. But to tell you the truth, I really don't care, because since the beginning of podcast, this has not been the main thing that brought me into podcasting, nor is it, I think, the main boon of podcasting, advertising dollars. Although that's what we talk about the most because of TV and radio. And that's, you know, the model that gets used. Well, you know what? That maybe work fine for them, but I think there are, the potential of podcasting lies elsewhere. So anyway, let's talk about this a little bit. What is podcasting? You know, Michael Goegen says it's a community, not an industry. Okay, is it a community? Well, you know, I'd say yeah. There's definitely a community feel to podcasting. And, you know, the last few years, I think, you know, we often talk about maybe going to that first podcast expo and how it was, you know, very, really cool to have this kind of insider community of people, you know, starting something new. And I'm sure that I know that phenomenon has been seen before with, you know, numerous different you know, whatever technologies or numerous different ideas or numerous different you know, factions of whatever, where people sprung up and they were the early adopters and a nice little community developed. You know, I go to that conference now, and yeah, you know, I have lots of friends there. There's a nice community. I have lots of people I interact with on Facebook, on Twitter. There's absolutely a nice community of podcasters that have developed. So is it a community? Sure. At large, I mean, most podcast listeners, you go and ask them, is podcasting a community? They're going to scratch your head and go, what are you talking about? So I'd say, you know, for a small fraction of us who, for, you know, like to get involved in that, yes, there's absolutely a community there. That's nice. Is it a hobby? Well, absolutely. I think for many, it's a hobby. Unfortunately, I think for many, they want it to be more a hobby than a hobby. But the truth of the matter is, it's really just a hobby. The way they're doing things is it's nothing more than a hobby. And I've definitely been in those places where I've, and even maybe fall into those times where, you know, I think I'm running a business, and then I have to take a hard look and I'm like, you know what, I'm really doing this like it's a hobby. And that's an important thing to look at. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if it's a hobby and it brings you enjoyment and it's something you do on the side, and you've got, you know, your 50 listeners or even your 10,000 listeners, and you enjoy it, and you know, maybe it cuts even, maybe it doesn't, maybe it just strokes your ego, whatever, you know, it's a hobby for many, and that's great. It's an awesome hobby. You know, early on, I started Gotham Cast because it was a lot of fun, and I wanted that. You know, I had this hobby of discovering New York City, all these great, cool things about the art and culture and history of New York City, and I wanted to share it with people. It was a hobby, Gotham Cast, and I've since, you know, had to stop that podcast because I don't have the time for it, but it was a hobby. Is it an industry? Well, I think I'd have to mostly agree with Michael Goegen saying that there isn't much of an industry there. You know, the ad industry certainly hasn't approved to do what it's going to. Maybe it'll still pick up some, but I think if we're waiting around for that, we're probably going to be waiting a while and going to be a bit disappointed. I mean, we're already seeing some of the dissolution happening. It's dissolution, the word I'm looking for. Disenchantment, I guess, with some of the companies. And, you know, some of these companies are starting to struggle. That's the truth of the matter. So is it an industry? Well, I don't know. I mean, there's some startups that have come up, but, and, you know, there's a lot of semantics. What do you define as an industry? You know, I'd probably say one of the most interesting micro industries, if I can, that sprung up is people like me, people who are podcasting consultants or new media consultants, or, you know, who are very skilled at this business. And, you know, all along I've said, you know, a great thing you can do as a podcaster is use those skills to, and sell those skills at, for now, maybe even at a premium price. I mean, look at the early days of web development. A web developer, a web designer could really make a healthy chunk off of putting a site together, because there weren't that many people who did it. And, you know, it slowly became more of a commodity. So certainly I realized that as just a quote-unquote dollars for hours podcasting consultant, there's only so long that you can enjoy, at least for me, the kind of money that it makes it worth it for me. And then you have to evolve and rebrand or make yourself, certainly put yourself in a place where you don't become a commodity. So keep that in mind too. So maybe there's some micro industries there, but I, certainly as a whole, I wouldn't say, you know, you're not in the best place by thinking of podcasting as an industry. So is it a business? Well, is a podcast a business in of itself? You know, I'd say, yeah, there's lots of people who, I guess, have started their podcast as a business. And if you want to make money, certainly you should think of your podcast as a business. But I don't know if thinking as your podcast as a business is the best model. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But I'd say, is podcasting a business? Probably in and of itself, if you really looked at things, if you're somebody who considers yourself a podcasting entrepreneur, has a podcasting business, and there may be a handful of them who can say that, but podcasters, people creating podcast content, has a business. I think if you look closely, anybody who's actually making money there, the business is actually much wider than the podcast itself. There are a few media properties. I mean, you know, maybe something like Wallstrip that was able to sell itself as a media property. I don't know. Maybe that was a business. But the podcast as a business is probably, you know, I'd say no to that as well. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. You know, but really these things, I mean, yeah, the community is very attractive. And to tell you the truth, I love that. It wasn't necessarily the thing that got me into podcasting. I actually didn't know that it was going to become such a cool little community that's still there for me and some of us who are involved the podcasters across the world. But what really got me excited about podcasting, early on in 2005 was, I mean, at that time I was already an internet entrepreneur. I was somebody who liked to publish information online. I was somebody who liked to teach people. I liked to, be creative. I liked to deal with technology. So these are all things that attracted me. But, you know, when I've really thought about it, what is it that gets me excited about podcasting? It's really this right here. And that is that podcasting allows me, or even allows you, first of all, it can bring you more freedom. Okay, I'm going to go into that a little more, but it can bring you more freedom. Number one, more freedom. Number two, it can bring you more fulfillment. Okay. And number three, it can bring you more recognition. And really, my goal, ever since I've come into this space and decided I want to be a podcasting expert, has been to bring myself more freedom, fulfillment, and recognition, but then also really to help others find freedom, fulfillment, and recognition, however you might define it. Now, obviously, that's a very vague concept, so I want to talk about that a little bit more. But, you know, let me give you some examples. Freedom. I mean, I got into internet business because of the freedom that it offered me. You know, right now I'm living in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I can run my businesses from here. I can communicate with students and clients and people all over the world because podcasting is a very powerful medium that allows me to do that. I definitely find lots of fulfillment because I'm a person who loves to constantly be learning and then teacher. I'm inherently a teacher. I like to share information with people in ways that's meaningful and helpful to them. And that brings me fulfillment. Well, when podcasting showed up on my radar, I saw an incredible means of accomplishing that fulfillment through myself. I mean, before that, I was doing it through seminars. I was doing it through public speaking, which I still like to do. I was doing it through websites, ebooks, and these are all things I still like to do. But all of a sudden, podcasting, the prospect of having my own quote-unquote radio show, my own audience of people who followed me, now that was something I saw that as, you know, potentially very fulfilling for me because of my enjoyment of teaching others. Third, you know, recognition. I'd say definitely podcasting has brought me recognition. My podcasts have played important roles in bringing me whatever recognition I do have as a podcasting consultant. Let's take it outside of the realm of podcasting. I mean, there's plenty of people who have brought their profiles to a much higher level through podcasting to become experts. You've got Mignon Fogarty, who's become a recognized expert on grammar. I mean, Oprah Winfrey had her on her show to talk to her about grammar, and she's become she's gained that recognition through her podcast. So freedom, fulfillment, recognition, what do you want? How do you define those three things? And, be thinking about that a little bit. And so really podcasting, whatever community there may be, whatever hobby that it may be for some people, whatever micro industries there may be, or whatever, small number of businesses that may truly be able to say they're 100% podcast businesses. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I don't have 100% podcast businesses. Podcast is just one thing that really makes my businesses flourish. Podcasting is a powerful tool for communicating a message, for building relationships, for getting attention from people, for marketing a brand, for building a brand in order to bring yourself freedom, fulfillment and recognition. You know, freedom from having to use other, maybe more expensive means of communicating or advertising. Freedom from sharing your ideas and expertise in the forum of maybe being an employee to maybe actually be able to take that into other venues because of the recognition that you've been able, the brand you've been able to build up using podcasting as a tool. Now, podcast monetization is obviously a very popular topic. But even more than podcast monetization, I like to talk about this freedom, fulfillment, and recognition. I like to talk about making money off of your brand, your own ideas, your current, a current or new business off of your expertise. I mean, that's something we talk about a lot in internet business. I mean, really, the goal of what I do in my podcasts, both internet business and this one, I realized that, you know, this year, as I've kind of put together a new, you know, defined purpose, is that freedom, fulfillment, and recognition and helping others. In the case of Podcasting Underground, use podcasting to achieve that. And in the case of Internet Business Mastery, to use an internet business to achieve freedom, fulfillment, and recognition. So I like to talk about, and obviously making more money can be a byproduct of, or a cause of, a reaction of, or a part of that freedom, fulfillment, and recognition. So if you want to really make more money, stop being a podcaster. Okay? Now, you might be scratching your head and saying, what in the world is Jason saying? I mean, he's got a show right now about podcasting and he's telling us to stop being a podcaster. Okay, well, if you think back several episodes, I believe it was the one where I was talking about, is podcasting dead? Why are people saying podcasting is dead? What does this mean for us? And I said, you need to stop thinking of yourself as a podcaster. You need to think of yourself as a content creator. You need to think of yourself as an expert. You need to think of yourself as a pundit. You need to think of yourself as an educator, whatever the case may be. What is it that you're trying to do? What is it you're trying to communicate? Who is it you're trying to reach? What is it you're trying to get them to do? Are you trying to sway opinions? Are you trying to get people to act? Are you trying to make money by, are you trying to sell? Are you trying to raise awareness of your brand? Are you trying, you know, what is it that you're trying to do there? And think of yourself as, you know, as that brand or as that business, as it, you know, what if the pod, you're not just a podcaster, you are actually something else. And the podcasting is a tool, a means that makes being that thing possible. It gives you the platform for being a pundit. It gives you the place to build your brand and grab awareness of a market. It gives you a place to communicate maybe your beliefs or your politics or something that you're interested in. All right, so let's get back to Michael's post here. If he's, you know, saying, he's not one to just go out there and say, hey, it's not an industry, wake up, okay, you know, and leave it at that. He gives some solid suggestions. And so I want to share those with you and then add my own take on them and then also add a few additional suggestions. So first, Michael Gohagan, he says, have a sit down with yourself and decide, does monetization really make sense for you? And I think this is just deciding, okay, is this a hobby or is it actually something? It's going over that freedom, fulfillment, and recognition. What is it that you want to actually get out of podcasts? So that's what I'd say is don't just sit down. I mean, yes, sit down with yourself and decide if monetization makes sense, but just ask yourself, what is it that you really want and how is podcasting going to accomplish that? You know, beyond being a podcaster, what are you? Are you a consultant, an expert? Are you an activist? Are you a brand in and of itself? Number two, he says, nail down the niche you inhabit and start to map out how to best present the opportunities and value that you can offer to potential advertisers and sponsors. Okay, so I mean, he's still sticking, even though he's saying there's not much of an industry or that, you know, podcasting isn't an industry and we got to, you know, wake up and not wait for the advertising, the white horse of advertising to come in and save us. He is saying there is money to be made, but we've got to, you know, nail down and do a few things to actually, you know, be proactive about making it happen. Well, my take on this is actually going to say, rather than saying nail down the niche you inhabit and map out how to best offer value for potential advertisers and sponsors, I'd say decide how to best offer. I mean, yes, absolutely. Nail down your niche. I mean, that's something I've always preached. You got to nail down your niche. Know who it is you're trying to reach, and it's probably going to be niched down one or two levels beyond what you thought originally. Decide how to best offer incredible value to your target market, okay? Offer the incredible value to your target market. That will attract them and build the relationship. And then, yes, you will have value to potential advertisers and sponsors. And that may be something that becomes part of your business plan, part of your monetization. But really, you need to be thinking, I mean, I wouldn't think about advertisers and sponsors up front. I mean, you got to think about who's your niche and what do they want. And yes, exposure to valuable products and services via, you know, from sponsors may be something that they want and ends up being a win-win-win for everyone. But think that through as well. You know, I haven't once put an ad out on my podcast. Not that I never will, but it just hasn't been beneficial for me or, you know, necessarily for the audience for what I'm trying to do right now or what I'm trying to offer to the target audience. Number three, he says, come up with a list of prospective sponsors that you believe are best suited to benefit from communicating with your audience. And then he says, get ready for this, call them. You know, something we're all very afraid of doing is sales and picking up the phone and taking that action. But you know what, I'd say even beyond that, because I mean, obviously I'm trying to take it even way beyond advertising. To tell you the truth, I've never been that jazzed about advertising and podcasting. And you know, as a podcasting expert, there is a chink in my armor. And that is this, if somebody comes to me and says that all they want to do is make money off of, you know, make a media property, make money off of advertising, to tell you the truth, I'm not the best person to help them. Okay. I'm the best person to help you, you know, build up a podcast that's going to strengthen your brand. That's going to help you reach a specific target market, but, and monetize through other means. But if you're all about, I just want to go and get lots of ads and sponsors, I'm not the best person to help you with that. So, you know, what I'm going to suggest is I'm going to say, come up with a list of prospective products, not prospective sponsors, but prospective products that you yourself can make. Prospective products or services that you believe are best suited to benefit your target market. All right, here's some additional suggestions. So that's Michael's three suggestions and my take on those. My additional suggestions. Okay, I'm going to tell you what my wife tells a musician. She's done some work with musicians and their branding and their marketing and things like that. And this is what she's told them. And that, you know, anybody I've coached in business, I've told them as well. And that is this. If you're going to start, you've got to start thinking of yourself as a business, okay? And being a business means one thing. It means spending probably a good 40% of your time on marketing and sales. Okay. You have to learn how to market and yes, bite the bullet and learn a bit about sales. Now you might say, well, I can always hire salespeople, et cetera, but there will never be a better marketer or salesman for you and what you offer than yourself. You are the best strategist for your business, and marketing and sales will make you more money than anything else as a business person, as a podcaster, content creator, pundit, whatever it is that you are. Okay. So spend that time learning and doing. I mean, I outsource a lot of things in my business and I outsource some of the technical aspects and logistics of marketing and sales, but I never outsource 100% the marketing and sales of my business. I am the marketer and salesman for my business, the primary marketer and salesman. Okay. Diversify your income streams. Again, if somebody comes to me and says, oh yeah, all I want to do is advertising, you know, I think you're selling yourself short. I mean, you've got to have last November, I gave a presentation on ways to make money with your podcast. And I named, at least half a dozen, if not more, different ways to make money. And one of the biggest points I made is you need to diversify this. Okay. There's lots of different ways. Advertising is just one of them. And hopefully you're using multiple, three or four or five different ways so that if one of them dips or tanks or doesn't work out, you've still got multiple streams of income coming in. And I know that this is something Paul Colligan is also a big proponent of, the premium content and having multiple streams of income, things outside of advertising that make money for you as a business person, podcaster, pundit, creative, you know, genius, whatever it is that you are. Now, Paul wrote a whole post in response to Michael's, and then Michael, you know, kind of saying as much, Michael comes back and says, well, what Paul misses is that for many podcasters, those with sizable audiences, podcasting is not a tool. It is the product, meaning the podcast, the show is the product. It is their part-time business. So their podcast was not built to support sales of some affiliate program or of their book or consulting practice or some other monetizable commodity. And Paul says he agrees with that, but then he goes on to say that that's a bad business model. And I got to tell you, I have to agree with that as well. It's really the best business model in my mind is not to create the podcast as the product or brand itself. Now, again, some people have done well with that. But the ones that I know that I think are have the most staying power or, you know, who aren't the select few are the ones who have actually built up some kind of business other than just the show as product. Okay. So I think that's a very important point right there. I want to go back to a word there that Michael says. He said, you know, rather than supporting a consulting practice or some other monetizable commodity. And not that you have to already have a current business, but I think you need to take your ideas, your value, your expertise. I mean, look, you are, there's something I said in the social media telesummit last month when I spoke there. I said, it's really important to realize that you have, you know, entertaining qualities or important information or expertise or knowledge or know-how that other people will pay money for. Okay. And that you have every right in the world today to be an expert on something. You don't need anybody's permission to do that. You don't, I mean, nobody's going to operate on my brain without going and getting their doctors, you know, going to medical school. Obviously there is some exceptions to this, but you have the right, and society tries to tell us otherwise, but you have the right to be an expert on something today. And so I don't think you need to be a monetizable commodity. I don't be a commodity. You want to be the kind of person that is unique and offers some kind of unique value that there's no price shopping you around, but people, there's a group of people who want to come to you because of the value that you offer and they don't want to go anywhere else. So making the business as just the show, just itself as a business, not a good model. And if that's where you're at right now, I'd suggest starting to look elsewhere. How can you use the show to build a brand that is bigger than that, to offer things that are bigger than just the show itself? I mean, in the comments of the post, Michael himself talks about Grape Radio, and Grape Radio has been, you know, definitely in its own right, an incredible success. Now, it's not the day job for any of them by any means, but definitely a good income stream, as he points out, for many of them. And advertising has been successful for them. However, he also points out that Grape Radio is more than just the advertising, that they themselves create white label content for wineries and other people. They extend their brand in other ways to make money as well. So, you know, there's more of a business there. They've built it as a business. Grape Radio is a brand, and it's not just the product of the show itself, but the show is what has been one of the primary powerful tools for building that brand, absolutely. But there's another business model around that. Now, Michael points out in some of the comments of his post that he's been a proponent. You know, I want to make it clear that he himself has been a proponent in the past of making money outside of ad sales. And he points that out in the comments. So I definitely want to make that clear. He's made money off of ad sales, but he knows it's important to, outside of that as well. And he points out several presentations where he said as much. I mean, he goes as far as to say that he's the one that started the meme of making money outside of ad sales. I don't know if I'd go that far, but, you know, definitely he has talked about this a bunch outside of that. All right. Read the post, read the comments down below. I mean, down in the comments, there's two or three people who chime in about the money that they're making. And I can identify two or three people there who are making, whose money comes from, you know, and two of them I know for a fact don't work a day job. You know, they've quit their day job either recently or in the past couple of years, and they make their money selling premium content. So that would be my next, and I've done a post a few months ago about how I make the most money from podcasting. And, you know, I said, how do I make the most money from podcasting? But the truth of the matter is, how do I make most money as an entrepreneur, as a brand, with my two main brands that I have, myself as a podcasting expert, and then also Internet Business Mastery as as a brand in of itself. And the way I make the most money is selling premium content. So that'd be my next piece of advice to you, is to absolutely figure out a way to sell premium content. And that comes in many different forms. I'm not going to go into that right now. I'll probably talk about it more in the future on an episode. And you know what? I think I'm going to do a course specifically sometime on just how to create premium content. And it's definitely something I push in my professional podcasting course, is how to do that as well, and how to, you know, I mean, the stuff like Michael says of really nailing home what your niche is. I mean, I spend a whole module of my professional podcasting course talking about that, because it is so critical, all the way up then to the different ways to make money. And premium content is absolutely one of the best ways. A lot of the people I know that have been able to quit their day jobs and go into, you know, making money with podcasting as a tool, somehow relating to podcasting, it's because they're selling premium content or services to their target market. Now, another thing I want to clear up, a lot of people, you know, might be saying, well, yeah, absolutely. The value is not necessarily the show itself. It's in the content, and that's something else that gets thrown out there. But, you know, here's what it really is. The value that you have as a brand, whether it's you personally, whether it's the show, whether it's, you know, whatever different types of content you might make, the value that you have in the business that you have, or that you should be thinking of yourself as, is in the relationship that you have with your community. When I first quit my job and struck out on my own as an entrepreneur, one of the first things that I did was courses on marketing, on direct marketing. So, you know, using direct mail and a variety of other media for direct marketing to a particular market. You know, this is long before podcasting was around. And, you know, anybody who's in direct marketing knows that one of the most valuable things in direct marketing is a list of targeted prospects, you know, a list of people you know have bought a certain type of product, or a list of prospects you know are interested in a particular type of topic. And now, you know, I'd say in this day and age, I'd redefine that even more to say, well, the most valuable thing is a community of prospects, or, you know, a community that's been built up, you know, maybe around a particular brand, or but a community of people you know are interested in a particular topic or brand or product or you know, particular niche. So what I'd say, you know, what I mean by your most valuable thing, the most valuable thing that you have in your business is the relationship you have with your community is, you know, let's say that tomorrow, heaven forbid, your studio that you record your content in or whatever burnt down and went away. And so all these, you know, physical assets that you have as part of your business were gone and you kind of had to start over. You know, the truth of the matter is if you had a strong relationship with a good sized market or audience of people who look to you for good information or for entertainment or you know, for a place to go and find belonging amongst their peers, you're still going to be okay. You're still going to be able to make money. You're still going to be able to offer value and get money in return for it and buy new equipment and move on. And all the really successful entrepreneurs I know, you know, they're not afraid of that kind of a tragedy because they know that they've got their target market or their list or their community, as I like to say. So the most valuable asset you have in your business is that relationship that you built up with a very specific community of, you know, that goes back to building, you know, selecting your right niche. And then podcasting is so cool because it's such a great tool for building relationships. So yes, it's a channel for your content. It's a tool for building relationships. And you know, I've been able to break into a market. You know, a couple years ago, we started Internet Business Mastery. And at first, it was just kind of for fun because we like internet business. But you know, at the time, it seemed just foolhardy to go into a market where there is already plenty of people offering information about how to do internet business and build a brand on the internet and things like this. So, you know, why in the world would we presume to be able to come in and offer something different? But the truth of the matter is now since 2005, we've had the number one podcast on internet business and internet marketing because, you know, we were using this new tool to reach our market, to build that relationship with them. You know, the brand itself is Internet Business Mastery. It's not the show itself, it's the brand itself, and we offer the premium content and the other stuff. But it's that relationship with them that has now allow us to, you know, jump from just having this list or this audience of people listen to us to now people who are actually writing, you know, sizable checks to continue to learn from us through our premium content. So the relationship you have with your community, if you have, you know, specifically targeted, carefully targeted the people that you want to reach, you know what kind of unique value you have to offer them, you're going to do fine as, you know, as a business person or as an activist or whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish in your goals with podcasting. Anyway, I've talked enough. I know I've gone on and on about this, but this is, you know, really important stuff. And I think that it is important as we look forward as, you know, as people using, you know, yes, we can be podcasters. We are people who use and create podcasts, but, you know, hopefully you think of yourself as much more of that as well. And you start thinking outside of that shell. If you do want to make money, if you do have, you know, further aspirations more than say the hobbyist or whatever, you know, think about some of these things and see how it might affect the model of how you're doing things. So, you know, now I'd love to know what you think. You know, what do you is podcasting an industry? Is it a tool for you? How have you used podcasting to accomplish your goals? What does some of the stuff I've talked about mean to you? Or do you just flat out disagree with me? I definitely would like to hear. So shoot me an email, you know, either a text email or an MP3 through email to jason@podcastingunderground.com. Again, right now I'm in the middle of redoing the phone voicemail system. If you're listening to this at the time the podcast originally comes out at the end of March 2008, you know, you won't be able to call, but later on, I'm hoping to have something better up that has better quality and a little easier to use and stuff. I was just getting sick of the free K7 number and the quality. It's never all that great and stuff. So anyway, what do you think? Email me, jason@podcastingunderground.com, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about this topic. All right. Well, I've talked a long time, but I have just a couple quick announcements for you. First of all, the date for the starting of the next, a lot of people have been asking, I finally set a date. You know, I know there's been some delays with me moving to Buenos Aires and lots of other things going on, but the date of the starting, the first module will start for the professional podcasting course will start on April 28th. So that's the day, mark that day. Now, enrollment will open slightly before that. Of course, there'll be, you know, limited number of people, but if you want to be on the list, the early notification list for the professional podcasting course, just go to propodcasting.com and sign up on that list, and you'll be the first to know when enrollment does open up. But I'm going to start putting out some more information about that this coming week. But April 28th is the day that it'll start. I'm putting that down now so we get this thing going again, because I know a lot of people have been asking me about that. Other than that, I have some very exciting things coming along later this year. My wife and I sat down and planned out a lot of ideas, for podcasting stuff, and how can we get some great information out there and offer value to, the community of podcasters and people who use podcasts and content creators. To help them reach those goals of freedom and fulfillment and recognition using podcasting. So some very exciting things coming out throughout the rest of the year, and including the professional podcasting course at the end of April. April 28th is when it's starting, but something also awesome I'm really excited for in June. So keep your ears open for more information about that. I'll be talking about that again very soon. Let's talk a little bit about getting your video out there, or even if you're an audio podcaster, another excellent channel for getting your content, your online content out to, eager eyes and eager audience, people looking for great information and great entertainment. And I want to talk about a tool I think maybe I've briefly mentioned on the show. I definitely have mentioned it when I've presented or spoken in the past, and that is TubeMogul.com. Now, we're all familiar with YouTube is one of the most popular video sharing sites out there. I mean, the amount of video traffic that goes through that site is staggering. The amount of eyeballs on that site is enormous. And essentially, it is a large search engine now for content of all sorts. Now, so it's smart for us as podcasters to figure out, as online content creators, to figure out, well, how can we take advantage of this? And I've encouraged you as podcasters before, if you're an audio podcaster, maybe, take your audio and add some pictures or some slides or something and post occasional tidbits to YouTube and other places. But even better is, there's a lot of other great sites out there, some of which you may have never even heard of. And, why not get it on those other video sharing, content search engines as well? And that's what TubeMogul does for you. It's a free service that you upload a video once. And then very easily you can click one button and have it go out and send your video to as many. I think they've got up to 12 different sites you can choose from, and I think I use about 10 of the 12. Two of them aren't as don't fit my audience as well. But definitely getting them out there. There's a Yahoo video site I didn't even know about, and I got some of my videos on it through TubeMogul, and got a bunch of viewers and new people. And now of course I brand those videos and make sure that people know where to find them or find me if they want to get back to me and listen to my podcast. I put my URL on them. But definitely I've been doing this more on Internet Business Mastery. I'm going to start doing this more on my blog. I've done a couple videos, but check out, if you want to see how I'm doing this, check out internetbusinessmastery.com and click on the videos category, and you'll see some of the videos we post using the Blip TV video, but we put this through TubeMogul and it goes out to all the different video sharing sites, and you can see kind of how we brand that and stuff. So get your videos out through TubeMogul to as many different places as you can. Now, this doesn't have to be every episode. It can be just tidbits. Definitely check out what rights you're giving up to your videos, because a lot of these places then make it so that they can be shareable on any site once you post it. But definitely a great way to attract new listeners, new viewers, new people to your community, to your audience. So give that a try. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. All right, that's it for this episode of the Podcasting Underground. In the meantime, get out there online to make some noise, and we will talk to you soon. That's it for this episode of the Podcasting Underground. As usual, I'd love to hear from you, your comments, your questions, or your feedback. You can email me at jason@podcastingunderground.com, or you can send in a voice comment by calling area code 206-222-1585, and I'd love to play that on the show. Until next time, get out there and make some noise.